I'm now joined on the line by Ciara Dignam, and speaking of which, she's the local singer for the previous song just played, Up the Mountain. You're very welcome, Ciara. Very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. Hope you're keeping well.
Hello.
Hello, are you with us?
I am, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Ciara. How are you doing? You're keeping well?
I am, yeah, I'm keeping good.
That's great. Well, you've just released a new EP which features the track just played. So, first of all, tell us all about the new EP. How's it going for you, and how long did it take you to record it?
I recorded it a couple of months ago. It only took about 3 or 4 days. It was kind of coming up with the songs. I basically decided to take a couple of covers and just do like obscure covers that wouldn't be well known, and just completely kind of turn them on their head and do my own thing with them. So it took a couple kind of actually record the songs, and it took me about 3 months to decide what I was going to actually sing.
Okay.
That's kind of how that came about.
Okay. I have to say, your own cover versions are very different and very good, even better than the originals. What actually inspired you to choose these particular songs?
There's one of the songs that Syrup and Honey, it was the first time I heard, I loved. And I wanted to kind of do my own thing with that. The song that you just played, Up to the Mountain, was actually my husband. My husband actually heard it did for somebody else's very. I think it was Kelly Clarkson's version. It's a Patty Griffin song, it's a really country and western kind of song originally. And he heard a Kelly Clarkson clip of it, and he just happened to look into the song, and he came back to me, and he was like, "You could do something really gospely type of kind of song with that." So when I went into the studio, I recorded it with Stuart Gray in Jellistown Studios. And I sat down with him, and I was like, I want to do something really kind of like gospel-y kind of music. I wanted to do just it's completely different to the original being so country and western. So I just said, let's chance my arm with it. I had never sang the song before then, so I said, I'll try it and see. And it kind of worked out okay.
Absolutely wonderful. How many songs are actually in total on the EP?
I have 4 songs on the EP.
Oh, 4? I thought there were only 3.
Yes.
All right, okay. Is it available on iTunes yet?
It's actually been uploaded onto iTunes at the moment, so it should be there in the next maybe week and a half.
Okay, lovely, lovely.
I've been so busy with gigs and everything else. I was just trying to get around.
Yeah, I can
get everything done, and I didn't realise there'd be so much interest in it. I just thought, I initially was saying, I'll just do it just to have a couple of songs there for myself, just to have recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a lot of people at gigs are asking, where can I buy your CDs? And I was like, I didn't have anything really kind of to put out there, because I'd just been, it was all live performances. And then I late last year I done a cover of Ben by Michael Jackson for a little boy, Batman Ben, for charity.
That's right, yeah.
So that went to number one. So since that, I think people then, because there was a lot more interest then, and you know, a lot of people that didn't know who I was before then kind of started coming to me saying, okay, where can I hear more?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why I needed to kind of get in and get more. So at the moment I'm recording my own original stuff.
Okay, well, there's only so much multitasking you can do, and I'm sure there will be a CD on the way.
Yeah,
it'll be on the way. As regards the music itself, when did you actually begin back in the music?
When I was about 10 or 11, I'd always loved music, and I was always I always liked older kind of singers, and like when my friends loved the Spice Girls, I was into Etta James and Janis Joplin. So I always kind of had a little bit more of a mature kind of, I liked more mature singers. So I always kind of used to sit and I'd listen to the likes of Whitney Houston, like I'd sit listening to her vocals. My mum used to catch me, like I'd sit with her, like records at the time, not even CDs or tapes. I'd sit with her records and I'd be sitting listening and I'd be singing along with them. And my mum was saying to me, my dad, like, oh, she can sing. It was only then she kind of catch me a couple of times in the car singing, but I'd never ever sing in front of them. Then when I was about 12 or 13, we went away to Portugal, and there was a karaoke in a bar we were in the hotel, and my mum was like, get up and sing a song, and I was like, absolutely no chance of that happening. And eventually, anyway, I managed, I don't know how they got around me, but I got up and I sang a couple of songs, and it was the first time my dad actually properly heard me singing, and he was like, okay, to me, man, right, you're not over exaggerating, she can sing. So literally since then I've been kind of, I was going around doing like younger kind of under 16s gigs they were putting on Saturday afternoons and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I kind of didn't really stop.
Yeah. So you were more or less initially inspired by Whitney Houston and the Spice Girls and all that kind of thing.
It was kind of big ballad singers, you know. It was kind of like everybody my age at the time loved the Spice Girls and the pop kind of. But I was more into soul and listening to vocal, like singers' vocals.
Okay. You were probably influenced a little by your dad, of course, as well. Just a little.
Well, you'd have to say.
Yeah. I mean, whilst Christy has a very strong, distinguished voice, you have a tremendous voice as well. So it's obviously in the genes. It's in the family blood. Nothing can be done about that. So when you got up and did your karaoke in, did you say Portugal?
Yeah,
you surprised everybody. Probably yourself as well.
It was kind of standing there like, where do I put my hands? What do I do? Like, I had never, ever, ever sang in public at that stage.
Yeah.
And it was very intimidating.
Oh, it would be.
At the time, it was like he would have never, even if I was tone deaf, he'd be still, oh, well done, that was very good. So I knew it was never going to be about criticism for him, but obviously, with being who he is and what he knows about singing, apart from anything else, his knowledge of music and of singing is more than I can ever know. So it was very intimidating to do that. He sat me down the next, he was like, Jesus, that was brilliant. But then the next day he sat me down, he's like, Kira, seriously, without being your father, you need to realise that you can actually sing. Like, but he never pushed me into, you know, it was never kind of a jack.
It was more a natural thing.
If anything, he was a little bit more reserved about me getting into the music industry because he knows the knocks you can get and everything else. So he wanted to kind of make me very aware of that.
Yeah,
but, none of that mattered to me.
No, it didn't matter.
That's just what I wanted to do, you know.
You proved yourself. So, Kira, you're very busy these days, performing for weddings and parties. You have a backing band as well. Tell us about them.
Yeah, well, I started. I was just on my own on a stage, so I'd get backing tracks. I'd bring backing tracks along with me, and then the more people started asking me, would I sing at their weddings or would I sing at their events and stuff. So then I'd start to get backing tracks made up, and then my husband, he plays guitar, so he'd play I met Darren through music. He was in a band years ago as well as he was 15, 16, so that's how I met him. And so then he'd play guitar for me and stuff like that. But it got to the stage where we were getting so busy and I just felt there was something missing. So I started looking then to try and get a band around me because I just felt I needed that little bit more of a step up to kind of, for people to take me a little bit more seriously. And I think I think it can be a different singer when you have the opportunity to sing with a band. So there was a couple of people that, my drummer, I'd known him for a while, and he got on to me and he was like, look, I'm available. My lead guitarist, I'd kind of done a little bit with him in a three-piece with my husband. So I kind of, we went and we cherry-picked all these musicians, and, you know, we got a few people in, and some people didn't work, some people did work, but the people I have at the moment now are... they're rock solid, so
spot on. Yeah, and you've set up a site. It's Audio Networks. Is that right?
Yeah, Audio Networks is a music agency. So they book out wedding bands and event bands and stuff.
Oh, they do
so
it
they
for
have
you.
Us at the
I
moment.
See. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So now I can book myself as well. But they're one of the best places in Ireland at the moment. That they book on all these, you know, for, so say bride and groom are looking for a specific type of band.
Yes,
find them. They'll kind of point you in the right direction for what budget you're in and what type of music you're looking for and whatever. So
yeah, well, it's been very busy for you.
For
yeah,
band.
It's been very busy. I mean, last weekend, I think on the Friday and Saturday, you had two weddings on the books, and then you had a funeral earlier in the week as well.
I did, yeah. Because I do a lot of ceremonies too. So, Friday I had a wedding ceremony. Then we had a gig that evening, and then I had a full day wedding on Saturday. So I had a ceremony that day, and then the reception, then the band were waiting then for that evening for the reception, and then I had a funeral this week. my cousin died this week, unfortunately, from cancer. Oh, so
I'm very sorry to hear.
It's hard, and thanks very much. It's hard in situations like that when you know somebody, and like it's hard anyway. I was only having this conversation actually at the church that people were saying, "God, how do you do that?" But and as you're human, you do get dragged into it, and even if you don't know the person, you feel for their family, and you feel like, God, if I was in that situation. But to know somebody, it makes it an awful lot harder. But it's lovely to be able to offer that to anyone, you know, to a family, to be able to kind of, sometimes people have specific songs that they loved in life or whatever, and it's nice for me to be able to bring that and do that.
Of course. And you briefly mentioned this earlier on. You recorded and released a charity single in honour of little Ben Batman Farrell, the boy aged 5. He sadly passed away. I think it was early last year after battling a very rare form of cancer. It was a reproduction of the song Ben, previously sung by Michael Jackson. Would you like to tell us just a little bit more about that?
Ben was diagnosed a year ago.
Right.
It was Christmas week. His mum just found a little lump and just brought him to get checked, and they rushed him straight over to Crumlin Hospital, and they basically told him then it was a tumour, and he had treatment. So they were trying to fundraise to get him over to America to get treatment that he needed, because in Ireland, they had given him all the chemo and the treatment they could give him here, and they just said, look, we can't bring him any further here. So his mum and dad, of course, they'd done anything they could to try and get him away. So I happened to, it was probably February or March before I heard anything about Ben, and I just got in touch with him and was like, look, if there's anything I can do, like, I'm ordinary like anybody else. I don't have huge amounts of money that I can offer to anybody to help, you know, charity wise. So if it's possible for me to do anything, I will do it. So I just got on to him and I said, listen, I can't write out a major check that's going to get you to America, but I can publicise it as much as I can for you, and I'll do a gig or whatever. So I organised to do a gig locally, organise us, get tickets and get people in the area to do it. And then long story short, anyway, they got a chance to go to America before the money was raised. So there's some great charities that help out with things like that. The Gavin Glynn Foundation helped them a lot. They basically organised to fly them over to Chicago to have Ben's treatment. But when he was over there, I was speaking to his mum, and I was just, you know, checking up, seeing how he was and whatever. And she was just saying that it looks like we need a lot more money than we expected. So I was trying to knock heads with a friend of mine, Stephen Brown, and he was like, well, look, why don't you... We do a bigger gig. And then we came up with the idea of doing a single, and Ben was kind of a no-brainer to do a song then. So I got back on to Val and I said, look, I'm thinking of doing this single. We'll try and work out how, you know, because when you're doing a cover, obviously the royalties and everything will go to songwriters and stuff, and Don Black was the songwriter of Ben.
That's right.
And Stephen managed to track him down, and he went through all these different websites but managed to find him, got in touch with him, explained Ben's situation, explained what we wanted to do, and he waived all of his rights, all his publishing rights, everything, all his royalties. So it meant every penny was going to go to Ben.
Oh, right.
So unfortunately, I was to go in on the Tuesday to record the single, and we got a phone call on the Sunday that Ben was after taking bad, and they were going to try and get him home, for him to die at home. And not luckily, but for them, in that situation, luckily they were able to have him, you know, have him at home to die, which is what they wanted. They didn't want him dying in a hospital in America, you know. But they had time to get him home anyway. But I decided to go ahead I asked the permission if they were happy enough for me to still go ahead and record it, and I did. So it meant that any money raised then still went to them, and they gave it to two of the charities that helped them out. So,
Very good. Fair play to you. Yeah. Fair play to you. Yeah. So tell us, any future plans in the pipeline, apart from, you know the gigs, the weddings and so forth? Now, I know, obviously, this is way down the line, because you have a lot of commitments, being a mammy, and you have a hectic schedule as it is. But did you ever feel that perhaps later down the line you might go for an album or something?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's definitely. It's obviously... I've three young kids, so that takes priority over everything. But I'm trying to balance that and a career. And when I had my son very young, I had Keane when I was 17, so I had to take a break from singing at that stage, and I thought I'd never be able to be in this position. But as hard as it is, myself and my husband really pushed me to kind of say, right, you want to sing, you need to just get up and get out and sing. And it's hard when I've often done gigs and come in at 3 a.m. and I'm up to do a school run at 7:30, but I'm hoping it'll be worth it in the end.
Oh, it will.
It's hard, but
it will all pay off, I'm sure.
You know, anything worth doing is hard in the beginning, so you have to just get on with it. And there's people out there in far harder situations than me, and they're succeeding in what they're doing, so
yeah, and hard work always pays off as well, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So your hubby actually plays the guitar in the backing band.
He does, yes.
Yeah. And you also have children. How many children do you have?
I have 3 children.
Three.
Keane is 13.
Okay.
Ava is 9 and Jake is 3.
Okay. Oh, you're very busy, definitely. Multitasker between the music and the home life. Fair play to you, I have to say. If you don't mind me asking, because this is all about you, not about your dad, but just for the sake of our listeners who would be happy to know, you were telling me that he did have a bit of a turn close to St. Patrick's weekend, but he's come around and he's feeling better now. Am I right?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's
doing good.
He's having chemo. He's been having chemo since January, so
okay.
Obviously his immune system and everything else was down, so he got a bit of an infection after Patrick's weekend. We had to bring him into hospital. He was struggling with his breathing and stuff. So at the time it was very scary, and it was kind of
another
close call, and we were given our warnings that we might lose him again. But
oh gosh.
Again, like Lazarus, he always pulls through.
Yeah.
So he's doing really well at the moment. It's always when he gets to the stage where they come in and they're telling us, right, when you're sat down, it gets very scary when it's like, look, we don't know what's going to happen here.
I know.
He just kind of he pulls through and gets on with it. So
yes, well,
that's where we're at the moment. He's doing really well.
That's good. We're all very glad that he's feeling good. Okay. I know this is not part of the topic of conversation, but you were telling us about a book you got your hands on. It's about kids, like with the kids breaking up for school now very soon, and it won't be long either when it's time to buy school books for the next term. And you were mentioning that this book is a great help for anyone struggling to learn the Irish language. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was actually I hadn't even heard of it myself, and it was the author actually approached me with it, and he was just. It's so simple, and it's something that, you know, when you see something, you say, how did I not think of that? I personally struggle an awful lot with Irish and sometimes English, depending on the mood. But when I was in school, I struggled big time with Irish. I just couldn't grasp it. And the older I got, like I was saying, like music was my only interest. So I got to the stage where I didn't really even want to try, because it was just... If it wasn't singing and it wasn't music, then I had no interest. So
it's okay. I could relate to that.
There you go. I'm sure a lot of people can. If you're concentrating on one other thing, and it always in school, I was always kind of under. It always kind of was in the back of my mind. Well, look, you can read and you can write, so that'll get you through a certain stage, because it doesn't matter. You're going to be singing anyway, you know.
And
I know now, obviously, as a mother and when I'm older, I'm thinking. That was a stupid way of thinking, because obviously education is so important, and even now I need all of that with social media and stuff, and with my website keeping up on track of all that, you need to have all of that knowledge. So
of course
I probably should have paid a little bit more attention in school. It's always when it's too late. But so anyway, he came to me and he was just, it's basically this book, it's say on one, like say 3 columns, and it'll give you the English word, say for window, and then it'll give you the Irish word, and then in the 3rd column will tell you exactly how you pronounce it.
Okay.
So it's such a good idea, and I actually gave it to my daughter, she's 9, and she was like, "Mummy, this is a great idea. I'm going to bring this in and show my teacher." But it's on me. I have a Facebook page, Ciara Dignam Music, and I have the link. John gave me the link, the writer. The link is on that. If people want to go on, and it's only $7.99. But such a good idea. you wouldn't even need to. It's for adults would be able to read and help the children with their Irish homework. But even if you give it to a child could even make sense of it themselves. So you could get more information on his website and stuff. But I just thought it was, I don't normally kind of really pay attention to it. Like, a lot of people give me a lot of stuff that I kind of look and say, oh, that's a great idea, and I'll thank them or whatever. But I actually sat down with this and just thought it was a fantastic idea.
Yeah, okay.
So it really kind of, it's literally, it puts everything Irish into kind of layman's terms. So it'll kind of explain and help you how to help you to pronounce each word so that it actually makes sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Ciara, time has, unfortunately, because I so enjoyed this, it's crept up on us, I'm afraid. And I was actually hoping to squeeze in the final tune, Syrup and Honey. But we're not going to make it within this half hour. But perhaps later, if something goes well later, we play it. But also, throughout the week, we'll have presenters playing all three songs from your EP, if that's okay with
that's
you.
That's great, thanks very much.
Okay, so Ciara, thank you very much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure having you with us today. And I wish you every success with the music and everything else. Okay?
Thanks very much for having me.
Okay, you're most welcome. Have a great weekend. All the best.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.